Welcome to Metaphysical Soul Speak, the podcast. I'm your host, Elena Fox Starks. Hey guys, I hope you're doing really well in this moment in time, and that whenever and wherever you happen to be, regardless of the hemisphere in which you live, I hope that you are able to be receptive. Learn to be more receptive. Now, I don't mean being receptive to all ideas. Don't be receptive to things you hear in the media. You know, that's where you use your discernment. But what am I talking about? Okay, so I was thinking about today how we give and receive love. So what I'm talking about today is receiving love. In what ways could you be more receptive as far as love is concerned? How do you receive love? From where do you receive love? Love is being beamed at you this very second. And are you receiving it? Are you able to receive it? Is your heart open? Are you afraid of having your heart broken and you've closed your heart off to love and you forgot maybe that love comes from a bunch of different sources, all for your own benefit, not just from a love relationship. You know, a lot of people, when they become single, they think, I don't have love in my life. I don't have anybody to love me. Nobody loves me. You know, it's like quite a leap, but it's super easy to hop over there to the island of loneliness where nobody loves me. But it's just as easy to wade back across that river of love that you hopped over to realize that you have so many streams of love coming your way at any given moment in your life. And I was thinking about it today, you know, like I've even been guilty of saying it. I probably have even said it on the show. I live in a foreign country. I have no love in my life, you know. And when I say that, what I really mean is I don't have a relationship currently. Then there's a telling word there, the word current. Currently. What is a current? An electrical current is something that carries energy. You know, so if I say currently, you know, so does that mean that I've stopped the current? I've blocked the current? I've stopped receiving from the current of love? Or maybe does that mean that as the energy is flowing, there isn't the love energy in a love relationship flowing my way at the moment? And that's how I mean it when I say it, like, oh, it's on its way. It's just not here. You know, the signal has been sent. It's the horse has left the gate. He just hasn't finished, you know, the race yet. So he's on his way, though. The race is underway. But I was thinking today in the way that we receive love, reception, receptivity. You know, as I'm saying these words, I'm reminded of hand gestures that we make. You know, when you accuse someone of something and you close your fist and you point one finger at them, you know, at the end of a relationship, we'll say, "You don't love me anymore. You never loved me." And you have four fingers pointing back at yourself. And when that person is no longer in your life, they're out of your apartment or house, now you've got four fingers pointing back at you going, "They didn't love me. They don't love me. I was not loved. I was never loved." And then you go to the deeper, darker places of "I'm unlovable," right? And we all get stuck in this one time or another in our lives. We all get stuck in this crap, right? The muck and the mire of "I'm not worthy of love." And you are worthy of love, and I'm worthy of love, and we're all worthy of love. We are all very lovable. God created us from love. We are ourselves pure love, and yet why do we block who we are from ourselves even? Are you receptive to love in all of its forms? Now we're going to go over a couple of those forms right now, because you might not be thinking of this. So love is not just lustful love, sexual love. Lust isn't really a love situation. It's like the lowest possible octave or vibration of the physical love expression. Like lust is like awesome, you know, if you could lust after someone you're in love with, you know, and couple that and ignite the passion, that's incredible. But if you have a higher vibratory love with somebody, it's better, right? But that's not the only way of love's expression. Love cannot be contained in the soul and express purpose of a love relationship, you know? Love is love, they say, and that means regardless of your vessel, you are able to love freely, giving and receiving love. But we get caught up, especially in Western society, in the idea that love is all there is. And when we say those words, what we think is usually a love relationship in which I'm actively participating is all there is. And if we're not in a relationship, we feel like we're unworthy, we're unlovable, there's something wrong with us. We have to heal ourselves. And I've met people who were not healed and met their twin flame, you know, and you're supposed to be healed to meet your twin. And it's not always 100% correct, because sometimes your twin flame and you decided to come here together to be, to heal each other or heal while together, you know. And some of us, twin flame types, have decided to heal ourselves before we meet. So you don't have that runner-chaser dynamic that everyone insists has to happen. It does not have to happen, but happens in some cases, sure. You know? But I was thinking about this, like the reception of love and how we really truly limit ourselves and our expression of love. And we limit our receiving. So I wrote this down, okay? Where do we receive love? How can we receive love? If it's not from a romantic or sexual relationship that we're currently engaged in, how do we receive love? So self-love. And I don't mean like masturbating, although I mean that's a part of it. It could be a part of it, especially if you don't judge yourself while you're doing it or afterwards. If you could recognize that sometimes you have needs and you take care of your own needs and you love yourself for taking care of your needs and you consider that to be self-care. a lot of churches have considered that to be self-abuse. That's not true. It's self-care. It releases endorphins and makes you feel good. And it's a part of, a natural part of human expression. So, but when I say self-love, like, love yourself in all possible ways. You know, go to bed on time, eat good food. And if you stay up all night, make sure it's for a good reason and you're doing something you truly, really enjoy. Whether it's cuddling on the couch with your dog or your cat, or you're watching movies into the wee late hours, or talking to a friend on the phone that you have not seen or heard from in years, or painting a masterpiece, and at 3-4 in the morning you get a stroke of genius and you can't wait to get that paint on that canvas. I mean, I've gone through that where I'm just like, I'm up, and 8 hours during the middle of the night I'm painting, and it's just such a joy for me. And that's a form of self-love too. You know, there's always an answer, and then there's always an anti-answer to your original answer. You know, people say, well, you don't love yourself if you stay up late. That's not true. Like I said, if you stay up late because you enjoy what you're doing, that might be a form of self-love. Indulging yourself in a way where you're like, yeah, I'm going to stay up. Well, fuck it, man. I'm going to watch those 3 movies I promised myself I was going to watch, you know? As long as you take care of yourself during it, like if it's cold, you're wearing a robe or have a blanket, you know, and you're cuddling and you're taking care of your physical body. You know, self-love, you love yourself. So that's a form of receiving love, is just accepting it for yourself and actively pursuing love for yourself. You know, not overspending your money so that now you're scared you're not going to make your rent next month. That's not self-love. But once in a while, buying yourself something, you know, a treat, you know, in one way or another. I met a woman once who said, you know, it's my once a month indulgence is I buy myself this expensive jerky. It was like pork jerky. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe this lady. She's like, no, seriously, you got to try it. She opens the package in the store and hands me a bite. I'm like, oh my God, this is like really, really good. Then afterwards, I had to ask God for forgiveness. I'm a Muslim. I should not be eating pork. But I was like, oh my God, this is like super good. It's a good thing I live in Ecuador where this does not exist, because I would be constantly tempted by this thing. But, you know, but that was, you know, that was her thing. She's like, yeah, once a month I give myself a treat. You know, for me, a treat is to buy a book that I could read with holding the book in my hands, as opposed to on a Kindle. That's a treat for me. You know, I love to, and it's been a long time since I've indulged in a decent book. Even a trashy, sexy romance novel. Not romance, but like, I used to every year get a trashy novel. I would allow myself one trashy novel a year. And the rest of the time I'm reading self-help books where I could, you know, incorporate stuff into my healing practice where I'm helping people. Or sometimes, you know, and obviously all the spiritual books that I could possibly read. I mean, for 35 years, that's all I've just, it's always been about the spiritual stuff. And actually, one of these days, I need to put together a list for you guys, especially if you're new and you haven't read any spiritual books or many. I have a really awesome list, and I should probably put that on my website. Eventually, I'll get everything together again. But self-love, I mean, you know, give yourself a treat, like buy yourself a rose or a dozen roses. If you can't afford that, buy the, you know, carnations or a daisy or whatever is your favorite flower. You know, steal a rose off the neighbor's bush who's not looking. Okay, don't do that. I'm just kidding. Ask your neighbor, can I have a rose, please? Check it for bees if you do those. Check it for ants. I've like picked roses and brought them in the house, and it's like, oh my God, there's ants everywhere. There's a bee in the house. What the hell? So, you know, be careful if you do that. But just something nice for yourself, you know, even just doing a bubble bath or even just getting in a bath of warm water with, you know, essential oils mixed in coconut oil. And then as you get out of the bathtub, that oil will go onto your skin and you can rub it in and your skin will be super soft and the essential oils will be relaxing. I mean, that's self-love. But besides that, where do we receive love from? We receive love from God directly. And if we've been deceived or fooled or hurt by the church, no matter what church it is, you know, or your religion, that can put a kibosh on receiving that love from God. And you have to understand that God did not create religion, man did. And you need to learn how to separate yourself from the religion in order to get back to God. Because that's cutting yourself off from yourself, since you are also a piece of God. You're like a spark off the great divine light. So God is the ultimate provider of love. And we have a portal called the Son. Some people call him Sol, S-O-L, which is just the Spanish word for sun. And the sun gives us love. The sun is a being. I channeled him in my first season and telepathed with the actual sun. That's a trip, man. I know I'm a trippy person. But the sun gives us a lot of warmth and a lot of love. And if it wasn't for the sun putting this love into plants that we eat, or plants that animals eat, and then we eat the animals, however it goes, it's sometimes a roundabout way. It's an indirect form of love, but we get that from the sun. Another way that we get love from the sun is when we burn firewood. You know, the plant is out in nature absorbing the sunlight for 20 years. Then the tree dies, but that's stored energy. You cut down the tree, you make it into a log, you put in your fireplace, you catch it on fire. Sometimes you cook food with it. So that's extra energy and love from the sun. That comes into your food, it comes out of the log, and it warms your heart, warms your hearth. That's what I meant to say, hearth, which is heart with the H at the end. But it warms your body, and that radiant love is in your home. And when you go outside, the radiant love is in the sky. And at night, when you hear the crickets and the frogs, that is an energy and vibration of love. It's meant to strip away all the toxic emotions that you might have experienced during the day. A lot of people will go out into the woods, go camping, and they'll go, wow, it's really relaxing out here. Well, you know why? There's a high vibration out there just taking from your energetic fields, all your bodies, your physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual bodies, your Pepsi bodies of the individual, is just taking all that negativity out of your energy fields. And it's just breaking it down, just one cricket at a time, one frog at a time. And during the day, it's songbirds, which we don't have as many songbirds around. Sometimes it's in the energy of the wind. Wind will take negativity from you. And all of that is gifts from God. It's a form of comfort. It's a form of gifts from God. It's a form of love. Another way that we receive love is from our higher self directly. And that was nature. We receive love from nature herself. The planet we live on, we receive energy from Mother Earth Gaia. If we have gods or goddesses of the olden days who have contacted us and said, you belong to me. Sometimes they do it just through people will be talking about it. And then all of a sudden, you've heard the word Orisha like 10 times this week. And it's like, okay, fine. The gods of voodoo, they've been sending me love or messages. That's a form of love. You know, maybe you've heard goddess Aphrodite, you know, 20 times in the past week. Okay. The goddess of love is sending you love. Venus is the Roman version of the goddess of love. I mean, I've had gods and goddesses just show up, and you know. And speaking of nature, by the way, my kitty cat, she's a good form of love. Animals are a good form of love. Have you ever just been somewhere and a random stray dog comes up and licks your hand? I mean, dog is God spelled backwards, and that, you know, if you receive love from all these different places and you accept the love, you receive it and accept it, and you stand in a state of receptivity of the love all around you, you will realize that you are loved. 100%, I guarantee it. Your angels, we all have angels that help us, angel helpers, but your holy guardian angel also loves you. Your person loves you. Your family, whether they're living or dead, they love you. If you're a twin flame, that is not incarnate at the same time as your twin flame, because we all have a twin flame. Most of our twin flames are in heaven, or, you know, just there as a secondary, like a holy guardian angel or a spiritual guide for us. And if your person is not in this world, they're constantly beaming you love. Their soul and your soul are the same soul, also known as your higher self, and that is constantly beaming you love. Your soul is created from love, and you could accept love from your own soul. And if you stay in a constant state of receptivity of that love, all the love around you, in the air, in the water, in all of the elements, earth, air, water, fire, heart, spirit, just stay in a constant state of receptivity, you are going to feel incredible. And eventually, you're never going to feel like you are unlovable or unworthy ever again. Because God is constantly giving you love, you just have to receive. You have free will and free choice, so you have to open your heart, open your mind, open your energy field to the love, the highest vibration, the highest octave of love. And if you learn to vibrate at an extremely high level, you're going to be quite aware quickly that only people that have the ability to love at that higher level will be attracted to you. I mean, that's a way to eliminate the narcissistic and sociopathic riffraff, or the twin flakes, from your life. You don't need them. Vibrate at the highest vibration of love, and only the highest vibrational people can come near you. And if someone who is of a low vibration tries to attack you or come near you, it doesn't last long, because you're still vibrating at a high rate. It's all frequency. Vibrate at the level of love, pure, innocent, beautiful love. And receive the love. Practice receptivity in your meditation. Well, maybe while driving in your car, or walking down the street, or when you first lay down in bed, when you go to sleep, when you wake up in the morning. Those are the best times, just to practice receiving love and tune your awareness into where the love is coming from. It's not always from a person, but it's always there. Every molecule you breathe, every molecule you're surrounded with, every atom is created from pure love. This is going to buoy you up very fast. It's going to help you ascend very fast if you can tune yourself to the highest level, the highest vibration of pure love. And you have the intention, hold the intention, hold the attention of pure vibration of love. The pure vibration of love, the innocent love, the love that God sends you in all its forms. So with that said, I'm going to tell you something freaking amazing. We're going to go to the Schumann resonance first. I went to the Schumann resonance of heartmath.org. And they're unavailable. Something has happened where all the Schumann resonance is off the charts, or something happened and those readings are not available. Then I went to disclosurenews.it and oh my effing God. OMFG. I mean, seriously, I might want to sit down for this one. Have you felt it? Have you felt the energy? The Schumann resonance coming out of disclosurenews.it that was 6 yesterday, 7 the day before, 8 the day before, and I think 9 the day before. So it went like 9, 8, 7, 6. But do you think it's 5? Oh no. Au contraire, mon frère. Au contraire, mon sœur. No, oh my God, it's 6,000 hertz frequency. Oh my God, 6,000 hertz frequency. Now, where does the fifth dimension start? At 40 hertz frequency. Where is it at today? 6,000. Oh my God, literally. I hope you guys have been basking in the glow of the pure vibratory love that is the Schumann resonance as well. I mean, I had to tell you guys first, before we go to spaceweather.com even, because that blew my mind. It's happened before, and now look, it's happening again. It happened in December. Now it's happening now. Today is January 22nd. 22, that's the number of major arcana in the Holy Tarot. We have 0 through 21, 21 being the universe, 0 being the fool. And so there's like 22 cards in the major arcana. 22 is also a master number. Did you feel the high vibrations today? I hope you sense it in my voice. I feel it. I'm like, what? Even more good news has been coming in today, and talking to my friend today, and just high vibrational things. It's been really incredible. I mean, I feel like everything is going to work out in my favor. Oh my God. And guess what? Everything's going to work out in your favor too. Everything is here for your benefit, because love is all around. Just like the Mary Tyler Moore theme song, baby. You know, love is all around, no need to fake it. You're going to make it after all. That's what it says in the song. You're going to make it after all. 6,000 hertz frequency. All right, so current solar wind speeds are 347.4 kilometers per second. That is the current condition on the sun. And there are B-class flares crackling on sunspot AR2798, which was just created yesterday. But I don't think that's a big deal. A C-class is a little bit stronger, so it's getting less strong as it's going around. The solar stream, wind stream from yesterday, like the third or fourth one this week, it actually missed Earth. It went just above our North Pole. It was expected to hit with a G1 class geomagnetic storm, but it apparently missed us. So that's okay. It wasn't squarely Earth directed, and well, maybe next time, they say. It just it sailed above our North Pole and, oh well, went over our heads. What is over the horizon? They say, and by they, I mean NASA, they say the Solar Dynamics Observatory is currently monitoring a spray of hot plasma that's now jutting over the sun's northeastern limb. And it's a magnetic canopy of possibly what they think is a sunspot group, which will come back around this side of the sun in the next 24 hours, and we will be able to see the dark cores of them, and then we'll know if we're going to be hit with plasma. If it comes around by tomorrow, which is Saturday, it'll probably hit us Monday or Tuesday if plasma is released off of the sun. So, well, we got something to look forward to, I suppose. You know, that will give us some pretty, pretty aurora borealises, as well as upgrades, downloads, and light codes for those of us who are sensitive to the energy and are in a receptive state. So, let's see, we're on sunspot number 26. That's a very sacred number. It relates to Aven, the father god. Thought I'd bring that up. In Hebrew anyway. We have gone up in gamma radiation, or the cosmic radiation that's constantly bombarding us. We're at 9.1% of the space age average, which is at a high, and we have gone up since yesterday 0.1%. The noctilucent clouds are underway. There is a solar wind currently flowing from the small coronal hole in the center of the sun, so it is Earth directed, and we will be receiving that the 25th and the 26th of January. So lots of light codes coming our way, which is pretty cool. We have had, according to NASA and the All Sky Fireball Network and the All Sky Fireball cameras, they have seen 6 fireballs over the United States, and that's all she wrote as far as space weather news is concerned. So there you have it. I think that's pretty incredible stuff. So anyway, I'm going to take a quick break, guys. And when I come back after this itty bitty music interlude, I will be getting into it. We're going to get into the weekly Earth changes report, as well as the weird world news, right after this teeny tiny itty bitty little break. And we're back after that brief interlude. It would have been a sponsor, but Anchor stopped my sponsors. And The Verge actually did report that this has happened to 100,000 people, so at least I'm not alone. I guess I need to find my own sponsors that have nothing to do with them. There was one guy who was getting 20,000 or 30,000 listens a day, and he was talking about baseball cards of all strange things and the collecting thereof of baseball cards. And he only ever got 3 sponsors in years from Anchor, and there you go. So I'm in good company, I suppose. My podcast is a smaller one. You know, if any of you have a company you'd like to sponsor through my podcast, let me know. My numbers have been going up really quickly. And like the last episode of last season got well over 500 listens, which was, or downloads, which is pretty cool. That doesn't count people listening on other platforms that, you know, that are outside of the podcast thing, such as YouTube. But just let me know if you guys have any interest in that. Or also if you have any ideas for sponsors for me. And before we get into the news for the week, I would like to also throw out there again, if any of you have a question for me personally that you think I'm willing to answer on the air, you can send me a voice message asking the question for at anchor.fm/metaphysical. And if you don't want your voice heard on the air, you can also just DM me, direct message me from Instagram at mermaidgirl888, and I will promptly answer your question if it's not too crazy, if I'm willing to answer it, which most of the time I will be, and I will do that next week. So, all right, my cat yesterday during part of the show was meowing, and I was like, where is she? I couldn't find her. Forgot that she had snuck into a cupboard, and like all survivalists, she made herself at home quickly, surviving off of toilet paper. Oh my God. She had attacked one of my things of toilet paper, and that was in that cabinet, and apparently ate some of it. So I let her out of the cabinet as soon as the show was done being recorded, and she promptly threw up. And apparently this morning I went in to get said toilet paper, she threw up there too. At least she was very sweet in the fact that she threw up on top of something that would clean it up. So unbelievable. I didn't know she would actually eat toilet paper. That was very, very strange. But I guess real world news from my home to yours. Anyway, so let's get into it. I'm not going to go over what happened in the past 5 weeks. It's just too much. But if you have any interest at all whatsoever as to what was going on in the world, as far as the Earth changes are concerned, you could go to watchers.news and you could check it out yourself. We're going to start with what happened last Friday, which was the 15th of January. So, in Indonesia, in West Sulawesi, there were 81 people killed. Hundreds were injured during a 6.2 earthquake. Now, I think we should send them some love and light, calming energy. It's always a pretty big deal to live through a bigger earthquake like that. So just send them love and light over there to Indonesia. Another thing that happened in Indonesia was a massive pyroclastic flow at the Semeru volcano. So they're having all kinds of upheavals over there. I wonder if they're also having spiritual awakenings as well. That's something that tends to go hand in hand with natural disasters, and probably why the greater majority, can't say this word right now, it's probably the greater majority, the reason why we all came here on this planet. You know, just so we're constantly jarred awake, spiritually speaking, through earthquakes and volcanoes and fires and floods and also human-caused things such as riots, insurrections, chaos. So there was a tropical cyclone called Kimmy that made landfall over Queensland, Australia this week. Let's send them love and light and sunshine. Tropical storm Eloise was forecast to strike Madagascar and Mozambique also over the weekend. So let's send them, Madagascar and Mozambique, let's send them some love and light. My friend who just started calling me again in the past week, he told me that he met someone from Mozambique, and it was very, he says, why does he speak Portuguese? What's up with that? He's like, I never knew anyone from Mozambique. And I thought maybe he would have an African language, but no, he speaks Portuguese fluently. So that was kind of odd. I did not know that. If you guys know about that, let me know. Why? Why do they speak Portuguese? Were they colonized by Portugal? That's kind of odd. And when? And are they still occupied? I don't know. Anyway, lots of love to Mozambique as well as Madagascar. Okay, 15 people are dead and 24,379 houses were inundated with flooding as the worst floods in 50 years hit South Kalimantan in Indonesia. So again, with Indonesia, sending them love, sending them light, imagining the sun will not come out tomorrow, but today, folks, they need the sun. As soon as it's daytime there again, immediately they need sunshine. There was a very strong and shallow earthquake of 6.4 in San Juan, Argentina. So let's send them love and light and calming energy, because again, that's pretty big. I mean, that's 100 times bigger than the 6.2, because every time it goes 0.1 up, that's 10 times more. So this is 10 times 10 time, you know, more than the last one that we read about. So 6.4, that's pretty big. There was in Italy a new paroxysmal eruptive episode at Mount Etna in the southeast crater. So their volcano is going off over in Italy. So let's send them love and light and calm energy and also high vibrational, I would say mental energy to them, so that if they're in the line of that, they know to get the hell away. Although it's pretty obvious. I mean, you know, when the ash is raining down, it's time to get out of Dodge. Where I live, I'm 100 miles away from, or 99 miles from the nearest volcano, which has been erupting only once since 1934, continuously. It has not stopped. And that is Sangay, the volcano, the giver. And this volcano, I channeled the two spirits that inhabit this volcano last year in the second season. Pretty crazy stuff. I get volcanic dust and ash here almost daily, 2-3 times a week. It's like, what? I just dusted yesterday. Erg. Storm Christoph is to bring widespread flooding to parts of the UK and Ireland this week, and they declared this as a major incident. So let's send love and light and sunshine to the UK and Ireland. Eloise makes landfall over Madagascar, of course. We expected that. We heard about it 2 days ago on the feed, or in this case, 2 minutes ago. The conditions were conducive, though, for a rapid re-intensification in the Mozambique Channel. So lots of sunshine over to Mozambique. Oh, my goodness. In the Philippines, off the coast of Mindanao, they had a powerful 7.1 earthquake. Oh, my God. That hit off the coast. So love and light to them. That's big time. It's a lot of energy. I wonder if it didn't cause a tsunami. Hopefully they're okay. Thousands of people were evacuated due to Storm Christoph that already hit the UK with disruptive snow and historic flooding. Oh my gosh. Sunshine, love, warmth, and light over to Ireland and the UK. Very dangerous tropical cyclone Eloise is now going to be making landfall near Beira in Mozambique. So there we go. Let's see. I think that might be the final. So sunshine to Mozambique again. Let's see if that's literally the last one. That might be the very last one. That's the biggest news, is that tropical cyclone. So there we go. I guess that's it. Now we go into our Weekly Weird World News. We got a lot of potential here for what's going on weird wise. So let's go first to news.sky.com/strange news if you want to read the articles fully for yourself. So a Star Trek logo and a Marvel name, the U.S. Space Force members will now be known as Guardians. Oh my God. Why? Oh God, why? I guess they have to have a non-secret Space Force. I guess that's the deal. There's a lot of secret Space Force, or not Space Force, but a lot of secret space programs. I guess the one that's not secret now will be Space Force. Why would Trump create that? Probably because he was kind of focused on the fact for a while that there are ETs. They're real. They're here. The Galactic Federation exists. The Galactic Federation of Light exists. And you know, when he was our president, that was at least one thing he did, was he did release a lot of those documents. He believed the people should know. So open up Pandora's box and the cat's out of the bag. Actually, my cat is in a box. I just heard her making some noise, look down, and her tail is sticking out of a little box that I let her play in. All right. So what are the long-term COVID symptoms that people have been noticing? Well, it's the disgusting smells of fish, burning smells, and even the scent of toast, which can be lovely once for a few minutes, but constantly, oh my God. Great smells of fish. Oh my God. Seriously, if I smelled fish all the time, I would be like constantly smelling my armpits. I'd be like, I gotta wash my armpits again. That would drive me fucking crazy. If you suffer from COVID, or you had it and you recovered from it, but you have a long-term effect of this, or something different, let me know so I could tell the group. It's pretty crazy. A policeman paid for a shoplifting family's Christmas dinner. How sweet. That's very sweet. Instead of arresting them. Wow, that's a heartwarming story, actually. I'm just going to go over the headlines. If it looks super exciting, then I will bite the bait and read the article for you guys. Footage shows a naked fugitive being rescued from a tree by fishermen. What? I don't want to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. And that's what the fisherman said. I'm just going to let that one slide. Probably another thing the fisherman said. Driver's illegal ham sandwiches seized at the Dutch border under post-Brexit rules. Brexit never should have happened. Australia is going to kill a United States racing pigeon, which survived an 8,000-mile trip across the Pacific. What the hell is up with Australia being so freaking anti non-Australian animals? You know, like, I know it's an issue, but just, you know, fly the pigeon on an airplane back to the U.S. Don't just kill someone's pigeon because it flew off course. Ugh, that's so annoying. Very, very annoying. All right. There's some videos here you guys might want to check out. Ice bubbles form in a Chinese lake. That looks like an interesting video. So here's a fun one. Did you guys ever see the movie The Terminal? It's one of my favorite movies, actually. It's very bizarre, about a guy who arrives in the United States just as his country was declared no longer a country. So his passport is no good, and he cannot go outside to New York City because he does not have a valid passport from his country. And he cannot return home to his country because he does not have a valid passport for the new country it just became. And so he's stuck in the airport for months trying to figure out what the hell to do. Doesn't want to get back on an airplane without going into the city. So he's just stuck. He's just stuck in the terminal. And so that could ever happen, right? Well, it can happen. Not that exact circumstance, but apparently a man lived in an airport in secret for 3 months because COVID made him too scared to fly home. I don't know. I could see that. I mean, if your country where you came from, where you're going to return, has a higher amount of COVID cases, I would be scared too. I mean, who wants to smell long-term fish? I mean, if you survive it. God, I feel sorry for this guy. I mean, I know how you feel, buddy, because my country has had more COVID cases than the country I'm living in right now. I don't want to go home either. I don't blame this guy at all. Zookeeper is currently in serious condition after being bitten in the face by, fill in the blank, guys. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do. What animal do you suppose bit a zookeeper in the face? Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Dude, it was a camel. A motherfucking camel bit a man in the face and put him in the hospital. A camel. What? I thought they just spat at people that they didn't like. Well, apparently, this guy looked pretty tasty, or the camel was super pissed off at him. That camel must have really hated him. Bit him so hard he put him in the hospital, and he's in serious condition. What the? Oh, that's weird. That's weird, all right. All right. A prankster pretending to be Piers Morgan did trick Trump into a phone call while he was on Air Force One. Woo! Get those pranks in while you can, I guess. Wow. So there's a picture. It says, one small step for man and one giant leap for haggis. Shows the International Space Station, apparently. Brought a bag of chips called haggis. Like that, dude, seriously. Scottish people, if you're listening, this is not a chip flavor. This is not a good idea. This is not a good idea. Ew. Ew. I mean, no. Mm-mm. And by the way, people from Ecuador, if you're listening, mayonnaise flavored potato chips again. Ew. Just ew. Ugh. Ugh. It's so disgusting. My son would come home with mayonnaise flavored potato chips. He knew it would make me sick and I wouldn't eat his potato chips. Reminds me of my friend who used to get peanut butter flavored ice cream, which was disgusting, but his roommates wouldn't eat it. And he's like, yeah, I'm starting to like it now after he'd had like 2 gallons of this. I'm like, if you don't like it, don't eat it. Just get a smaller thing of ice cream that you can eat right now tonight. And then your roommates won't eat that either, but at least it's Ben and Jerry's, baby. At least it's Häagen-Dazs, baby. Peanut butter. It didn't even have a brand name on it. It just said, for the brand, peanut butter flavored ice cream. You open it up and it's like swirls of peanut butter inside of ice cream. And the peanut butter part wasn't even cold. It was so gross. But haggis chips apparently have been to space. I don't think that makes them better. I don't think that makes them better at all. Okay. There was a rare snowfall in the Sahara Desert, and it left extraordinary patterns on the sand dunes. If you want to see the picture, it looks kind of cool. Here at news.sky.com. Weird news coming out of metro.co.uk, the Metro News. This one's always pretty freaking funny. So hopefully it will be funny today as well. Let's see. I got to find out where we left off. Remember last year we talked about the jet that flew in the shape of a giant penis in honor of a guy who masturbated. It's like, why? That's where we left off last year. I mean, that's literally the end of 2020. So, okay, a mom reckons she found Jesus. Okay, fine, good for her. She found Jesus, but no, wait a minute. Where did she find him? In a Brussels sprout. What? In a Brussels sprout, days before Christmas, Shauna Roberts said she'd not have the heart to cook the Brussels sprout when she found Jesus in it. Now I'm looking at this, and what it looks like is a portrait of Adolf Hitler. It does not look like Jesus at all. I am not seeing it. I don't know why. I'm not seeing it at all. This is not Jesus. This is Adolf Hitler appearing in a Brussels sprout. I bet that fucker is going to taste pretty evil. That's probably the most bitter Brussels sprout ever. This does not at all look like Jesus. He's got one giant ear. This is weird, man. Jesus did not have a Hitler mustache and no beard. I don't see what she sees. I don't see it. As the more I stare at it, the more I see Hitler. Oh my God. So she says, Shauna Roberts, age 34, did a double take as she prepared to chop the bottom off the vegetable when she spotted the holy lookalike. She called her children over, who are ages 14 and 10, Jack and Michael, and showed them her discovery at their home in Waltham Abbey in Essex. She says, I was taking out the sprouts, topping and tailing them, putting a cross on the bottom. When I saw the face, I remember thinking, oh my God, it could be Jesus. What with it being so close to Christmas? I swear to God, it looks like Hitler. Oh my God, it does not look like Jesus at all. I don't have the heart to cook him. So I left the sprout in a corner cupboard, and he just sat up there for a little while. I thought it was funny, and even funnier because I found him just before Christmas. And when I saw the face, I shouted to the kids, look, I don't know if it's Johnny Depp or Jesus. What? This chick has never seen a photograph. Well, no one has, but a picture, a portrait, a painting of Jesus. Johnny Depp also does not look like Jesus. And I have face amnesia. I have face amnesia, and I know this. I'm dying. It looks just like Hitler. And Johnny Depp also does not look like Hitler as well. What? She says, I'm not particularly religious, really? You're cutting crosses on the bottom of your Brussels sprouts. What? She says, I'm very open. I enjoy exploring all elements of people's religions and beliefs, and I'd probably describe myself as spiritual. Okay, cool. So she's one of us. Maybe she's hearing this and laughing too. She says, when I spotted this particular sprout, I thought it was funny. It made me laugh. I said to my friends, I wished for Johnny Depp for Christmas. What? And I got him at the bottom of a sprout. I like then roasted. I like them roasted with a little bit of Parmesan or the little bit of maple syrup or nutmeg or a little bit of bacon. Why is she telling us her recipes? What? Jesus, the Brussels sprout was put in the recycling bin after he started to look less like Jesus. This is killing me. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard on this show. What the hell? Not once did she see Hitler in this Brussels sprout. Like, what the hell? I swear to God, it looks just like Hitler. It is not a Rorschach test, people. Oh my God. Metro.co.uk. You've got to see this thing and tell me who you think this looks like. It looks nothing like Johnny Depp. It looks nothing like Jesus. They look nothing like each other. It just looks like Hitler. Oh my God. Oh, I can't even control myself. That's too funny. Okay. By the way, it's not on any website, but I heard it on Steve Colbert that Gwyneth Paltrow has released a candle that smells like her vagina. I don't know if you guys heard this. Why would you want a candle stinking up your house? Can you imagine if your grandma comes over? What does that smell? Oh, it looks like someone's gotten laid. No, it's just Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina. You've been sleeping with Gwyneth Paltrow? No. What the hell? What would possess Gwyneth Paltrow to think that everyone wants to sniff her vagina anyway? By the way, what the actual hell is happening to our world? What is happening? So she's a beautiful woman, but I don't want my house smelling like her pussy. I just don't. I just don't. Oh my God. Okay, so Urban Outfitters forced to recall thousands of flammable candle holders. Oh my God. So that's what this, and the reason why I know about the pussy candle is, I guess they started to burst. If you light Gwyneth Paltrow's pussy on fire in your house, apparently it will explode and go off in different directions. So I guess it's Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina, and it comes with its own orgasm. What? Talk about goop. What? Okay, so Urban Outfitters is forced to recall thousands of flammable candle holders. So if you guys have one of these, just please, please, please bring it right back. It's, oh my God. As soon as they catch fire, if they come close contact with the flame, you would think that they would have done something about this. You know, in the testing phase of these candle holders, they have 5 varieties of taper candle holders, and they are a fire hazard. Oh my God. Please, you guys, if you have one of these, turn them back in. Get your money back. They're Urban Outfitters. They make clothes. Just ignore their candles. Go to a candle shop for candle holders. Get, you know, glass or metal. Don't get wooden candle holders, by the way, people. I bought a wooden candle holder when I was 18, and it was super adorable. And then one time I fell asleep, and of course the candle burned down, and it burned part of the wooden candle holder. And I smelled the smoke, and I I immediately blew it out and rushed it into the bathroom under the sink. But why do people even make wooden candle holders? That's stupid also. Oh my God. So this is an embarrassing recall, they said. The candle holders have flammable properties that leads to the possibility of the candle holders catching fire when they come in close contact with the flame, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I guess they just decided to say the same sentence four times in a row in different ways. I mean, they were manufactured in China. People were asking for a full refund. They're definitely giving the refunds out without questions asked. So £14 or $12. They're the colors that are bursting into flame upon contact with a flame or any fire are the Swirl Taper Sophia Taper candle holders, which come in amber and green, moss, lavender, and peach colors. So that's insane. Like, why don't they test these things? Why don't they test them before? You know, it's kind of obvious that that's important, right? So, here's some more. Oh God, guys, a man changes his name to Celine Dion because he had too much to drink. Let this be a cautionary tale. Oh, I am more upset, he says, that I haven't inherited the voice or the bank account. Like, just because you change your name to Celine Dion doesn't mean anything in your life is going to change for the better. Oh, God, that's crazy. Here's a fun one. A woman was fined after walking her husband on a leash and telling police that he was a dog. She was in breach of a coronavirus curfew, but she really just had to go for a walk, I guess. Or her dog, I mean husband. Her husband, the dog, really needed a walk. And so she put him on a leash, and well, the police were going to punish him. But maybe he likes that. I don't know. I mean, that's not my joke, by the way. I got that from, I want to say, Stephen Colbert. I've heard this story two or three times in the past week, and it's here in metro.co.uk. So, I mean, this, you know what this reminds me of? In Los Angeles, someone was arrested for going in the carpool lane with a blow-up doll in the passenger side. Some laws you just should follow. I mean, come on. This was in Quebec, this happened. And people have to stay indoors, of course, between 8 o'clock at night and 5 in the morning in order to halt the spread of coronavirus, obviously. But dog walkers are allowed to be outside during this time. And there's a fine. She got fined £893 or $1,546 Canadian dollars. That's a lot of money. $1,500? What? That's a lot of money. Why would she even risk this? And embarrass her husband, unless maybe he likes humiliation, obviously. They did not cooperate with the police at all, according to the Sherbrooke Police Department. And you know, the Canadian police are out of control, by the way. They did steal the pants of my good friend Tim, the Cosmic Threader. The police stole his pants. He's protesting every day, saying the police stole my pants. And they're also charged by him with police brutality as well. He is a one-man protester right now, standing out in the cold, cold snow. With a sign saying the police stole my pants. And you could see that at the Cosmic Threader on his Instagram. So, and you want to hear the whole story, by the way. He has a YouTube channel and you could check it out from his Instagram. Find out all of that. He's got Wednesday morning coffee, which you guys know because he sends me clips about it all the time. And I play them for you. So anyway, so they breached their curfew, and that was why I mean, seriously, it does remind me of when people would go around in cars in LA with blow up dolls in their passenger seat. And that does lead us to our very next story. Speaking of blow up dolls. So a bodybuilder married his sex doll. Oh my God. So, he married a sex doll, and then he revealed that she has tragically broken just right before Christmas, damn it. I guess they were going to have a really good Christmas together, but alas, no, she broke. Oh my God. So, Yuri Tolochko from Kazakhstan is now waiting to see if his wife, called Margot, can be repaired in time for Christmas. Okay, so this is like a little bit of an older story, which is celebrated on January 7th in his country. Oh, I did not know that. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that Kazakhstan celebrated Christmas, let alone on January 7th. So that's super odd and interesting to know that. Okay, he says she is broken. Now she is being repaired. She's in another city. When she recovers, it will be a gift for both of us, he told the Daily Star. He did not explain how Margot had been broken. Oh, this news comes after Yuri married his fiance Margot in late November after a number of delays due to coronavirus pandemic. Oh my God. So there are pictures posted to Instagram showing his sex doll dressed in a white lace gown, while Yuri wore a black tuxedo for the ceremony in Kazakhstan. He posted a video which showed him putting a ring on Margot's finger and members of the wedding party dancing and celebrating the occasion. I want to know something. Members of the wedding party? Are they teddy bears? Are they dildos? Are they, what are they blow up dolls? What? Who would he invite? A mom and dad? Meet my fiance. She's a sex doll. What? Who do you invite? What? Yuri wrote as his caption, "It's happened, to be continued." And there's a picture of him waking her up in the morning with roses, and she's got like a thing over her eyes to sleep. This is so freaky. And then he dressed her in a bright, shiny purple metallic dress and hot pink hair in this other one. And he says, yeah, this is crazy. He's not a bad looking guy, but like, why can't he get like a real woman? He says, oh my God. It says, meet the bodybuilder who has married a sex doll after a 2-year relationship. Oh my God. Do they have no women in Kazakhstan? I really want to know this. The couple started dating at the beginning of 2019 after they reportedly met at a nightclub, it says. What is happening to this world? What? According to local media reports, their union is legitimate because the only requirements for a wedding to take place in Kazakhstan is that both are consenting parties and they have to be male and female and over 18 years old. But how can a sex doll consent? The bodybuilder, he identifies as pansexual, describes himself as a blogger and sexy maniac in his Instagram bio. He told the Daily Star that he can fall in love with a character, an image, a soul, or just a person. Then why didn't he just fall in love with a human person? He says, I like the process of sex itself. What? You, wow, he's so unique. And gender, sexual orientation are not particularly important here, he says. Discussing his sex life with Margot, Yuri added, Our story turns me on much more than sex itself. The couple started dating at the beginning of 2019 after they reportedly met at a nightclub, as he popped the question at the end of the year. Pictures have been posted on their respective Instagram accounts, so he made her one, I guess, showing dinner dates, bubble baths, and holidays together. And they even have a pet dog. Oh my God. It's like, this is hilarious, but all kidding aside, I'm kind of worried about this guy. This is not the first story of its kind that we've heard on my show. Okay, more weird news. A knob-throwing festival was canceled due to coronavirus. It shows a guy with a slingshot trying to throw a knob. It looks like a knob off of a drawer. So, I guess furniture knobs? What the heck? I mean, these stories are just really strange. Which is why we're here. We're here to lighten up our mood during our crazy time in quarantine. There's a man with a huge tattoo of Boris Johnson who says he will never regret getting it. Okay. A man got a huge picture of Boris Johnson tattooed on his... When you fill in the blank there, did you think Johnson? Because I know I did. Actually, it was tattooed on his stomach. Oh, man. And he says he has no regrets about it. Oh, my God. It's right above his belly button. You can see this on metro.co.uk. So, his name is Kenny Wilding. No kidding. He is 42 years old, and he used his bizarre tattoo to raise money for a family friend who has stage 4 rectal cancer. Oh my. To be sent to the U.S. for a clinical trial that shows promising results. Megan Smith's family are hoping to raise £150,000 to help this 25-year-old who was diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. Can you imagine being a 25-year-old woman and getting cancer of the rectum of your asshole? That's like asshole cancer. Oh my God, that's so sad. Mr. Wilding from Kidderminster, Worcestershire. Oh my God, I swear to God, these names. It's almost impossible to say. Worcestershire. Kidderminster, Worcestershire, or Worcestershire, I don't even know. Anyway, he said he wanted to do something to help her as her last chance of survival, and he thought a tattoo of Boris Johnson would raise a lot of money. Yeah, people would pay to see that. And he says, I think Bo's is a legend and have never seen anyone with a tattoo of him. He says, it hurt. He says, you could say I nearly wet myself. Yeah. That seems like a very sensitive part. I have 3 tattoos myself. Not one of them is on my stomach. He says, at first I thought I might regret getting my tattoo of Boza. I never heard of him called that. That's kind of crazy. He says, but everyone loves it. I'll never regret doing it because it was for a very special young lady. What a sweetheart. That's kind of heartwarming, as weird as this story is. And God bless her. You know, let's send her love and light. Lots of healing energy. I hope that her cancer is going away quickly. The tattoo itself took 2 hours to complete. Shows the prime minister grimacing on the construction worker's midriff. Oh man, that's so strange. With his chin resting just above the belly button. Yeah, it does. It is. It's very odd. It's like he's leaning into this guy's belly button. He got the prime minister inked on his stomach last November, after first getting a tattoo that says Meg's Army on his arm to help Megan Smith's fight. The tattoo, ordinarily would cost £200, was donated by a friend that helped to raise £800 for her cause. And she has a rare type of aggressive mutation that only happens in 8% of rectal cancer patients, which makes it spread faster. Oh God, so many jokes, such a sad story, but so many things come to mind. I'm trying to move on. Oh, God. Oh, I am having a Chandler moment right now. Oh, no. I feel so sad for her. Okay, so now she's been referred to the Keck Medical Center in Los Angeles, California, to receive treatment. And hopefully the family will be able to raise enough funds. Now, her sister, Terry Smith, 34 years old, she says, when Kenny first told us he's going to have Boris Johnson tattooed, done, to raise money, everyone laughed and they thought it was a brilliant idea. It's so relevant with everything going on at the moment and definitely something Kenny would do because he's a very humorous guy and he loves nothing more than to make people laugh, even more so during difficult times. So this support that everyone has shown so far has been overwhelming, but also absolutely amazing. And she says, my sister needs all the help and support she can get to help fight this awful disease for the family. And they're so grateful for anything everyone has done. They have now raised 46,000 pounds to date, so they still need more. I don't know. I guess you're going to have to look up maybe Meg's Army, or if you want to donate to this cause, look up Megan Smith's fight for cancer or something. Maybe. It's just her name is spelled S-M-I-T-H and Megan is spelled M-E-G-A-N. So let's send her love and light, honestly. I mean, to get away from making fun of the situation. That's really, truly, it's sad, man. That is very sad. So let's see where are we with time? So we're at 48 minutes. Let me pause this for a minute and find some more stories. All right, I think we're going to do one more story. I'm going to read the article. I think it's very important for us to know that octopuses punch fish sometimes for no apparent reason. I don't know if you guys saw it. It's one of the sweetest and strangest movies I've ever seen. Is the on Netflix, My Octopus Teacher. And it's about a man who every day decided to go just diving. He walked into the ocean and just looked around. And he had a scuba gear, I guess. And he just wanted to film the underwater world. And he looked at the fish and looked around and he found a little octopus, a little baby octopus. He spent a year with her. She was, I guess, maybe not a baby, but she's maybe mid-size, mid-grown or whatever, teenager octopus, I don't know. And it's a very interesting story because this octopus taught him about life and about love and all this amazing things. And it's not like a written script movie. It was just a documentary. So it's really, I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. I saw it when it first came out, like the first week it came out, I was like, whoa, it's such a good, and I've always loved octopuses. In fact, I subscribe to the YouTube channel Octolab, O-C-T-O-L-A-B, Octolab, I think that's right. They put their octopus in a wide variety of situations to see how it will react, right? So they'll show it like a child's piano. They'll put it in the tank and they'll watch as the octopus goes around and tries to play the piano. Or, toys, they give it different toys and see how it responds. Octopi, they're very, very intelligent. They're very intelligent. And they are one of those creatures on Earth that don't have DNA that match anything else. And everybody is pretty much under the assumption that octopi, are actually extraterrestrials. They're very intelligent and they're extraterrestrials. So they're ETs. So that's strange enough. But here it is with this article. They came out on Christmas Eve of last year. They say, what has eight legs, hunts among a group of fish, and can throw a mean sucker punch? Sucker. This is hilarious. And by the way, this article, if you want to read it, is on npr.org under their research news. but also strange news, I guess. So there's a research published in Ecology last week. So this is like going back 6 weeks ago. And it says that the answer to this is octopus. Octopuses or octopi. They say octopuses. Yes, octopuses, not octopi, they said. They asked. Oh, okay. See, so I was wrong. This article just answered my question. Oh my God. We are so in the matrix right now. So, okay, so octopuses punch fish deliberately. Sometimes there's a reason, and other times there's just no discernible excuse to the researchers. And they caught the video on, they caught this behavior on video. If you want to check it out, NPR.org, they've got a link to the video. The first time the researcher Eduardo Sampaio witnessed this phenomenon, he laughed. Normally, that's fine, but at the time, of course, he was underwater wearing scuba diving equipment. Guys, I have screamed underwater. I have laughed underwater. I mean, it's, I mean, I wasn't wearing scuba diving equipment. I was just wearing a snorkel, but it really disturbs the fish when you laugh underwater or when you scream, apparently. he says, I almost choked on my regulator when I saw it for the first time. I just burst out laughing. Like, that's crazy. So apparently, well, okay, octopuses are typically solitary creatures. And sometimes they might take part in a hunting party made up of fishes. And a grouper's gestures, for example, can clue an octopus into the location of its prey. Groupers are freaking massive. They're massive. Like, put your tips of your fingers together and make a big round circle like you're gonna hold a big pizza pie. Groupers are bigger than that. I don't care how big your arms are. Groupers are bigger than that. Like that big round circle. They're bigger than that. They're huge. They're huge. So a grouper's gestures can clue the octopus into the location of the prey. So they were studying this mutually beneficial behavior, Sampaio and his co-researchers, and they came across an octopus that punches fish while hunting. That's how it hunts. That's freaking hilarious. That is really funny. So, yeah, there you go. it says, Sampaio says, you can see that some of the punches are almost like a small boop. Well, my cat does that. She boops me all the time. The other day, I was walking into the living room, and the cat ran as fast as she could from outside, did a circle loop around the living room across all the couches, and then jumped off of the final couch in order to boop me extremely hard on my waist, and then took off running outside again. And the other day, I was sitting on my bed getting dressed in the morning, and my cat ran up and booped me in the boob and then took off running laughing, because I'm sure she was laughing in her cat maniacal way that she does. I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, meow, meow, meow. Sometimes we get booped by creatures, okay? It's a thing. I can't believe octopuses can punch fish. Doing this in the context of a hunting party, though, this is new, they said. So what they discovered was the whole arm of the octopus curls up and uncurls afterwards like the motion of a boxer doing a punch. And they're very rare, so it's not even easy to observe it because it very rarely happens. But the research, of course, prompts many questions like, well, is there a particular species that the octopus prefers to punch? I'm thinking clownfish. They tell horrible jokes and then boop. But the researchers were able, in some cases at least, to determine the reason for the underwater bullying when the octopus decides to strike. Sometimes it's a partner-controlled mechanism to drive fish away from the octopus's next meal. And sometimes it could be to control where the fish are swimming. Ooh, that's smart. And it can be a form of punishment also. Don't give that octopus another beer. Sometimes the eight-legged creature just punches a fish with no discernible incentive. That's really a trip. I saw this article and I didn't read it, and I thought, well, I'll read it later, and I'm glad I came across it tonight for you guys to read it to you, in case you hadn't heard that octopuses are the bullies of the underwater world. Oh my goodness. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Metaphysical Soul Speak, the podcast. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell people on all of your social medias. Please get the word out so that I could eventually get more sponsors. And I love you guys so much. Thank you for all your love and your support. Anne Hillsborough, thank you for your monthly, very generous donation. I do run on donations right now because I don't have a sponsor. So thank you for those of you who have done that, and for those of you who have paid for a reading by me recently. Thank you for that. You're all on the list. I just had some new orders this past 2 weeks. So you're on the list. I have been thinking about you. You know, I just finished up my education, so I have a little bit of time finally. Anyway, I love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for tuning in and telling everybody and all that good stuff. Remember to remain receptive to all the love from me, the love from everyone around you, your holy guardian angel, nature herself, God, and go get some sun, because the sun loves you too. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend, and I will be back on Monday with all unique and original programming, just like always. And that's it for now. I'm signing off with peace and joy and the high vibes of the holy fifth dimension. Until next time, guys, peace. Metaphysical Soul Speak is run on sponsors and listener support. This means listeners like you. If you are so inclined to support my efforts and my little podcast, please visit me at anchor.fm/metaphysical and pledge an amount of your choosing today. Thank you.